my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to BQ&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary and I'm your host. It is such a privilege to be able to join with you once again this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. This week, we're looking at a real ripper of a subject. This is a real beauty. We're looking at the subject Jesus and the New Testament Sabbath. You know, there is so much discussion in the big wide world about the whole issue of the Sabbath, not just from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but from a multitude of sources. Now, we weren't going to put this particular subject on this particular week, but we really felt that there is just so much agitation happening in certainly the public religious press that it was worth bringing on. So this week we're actually talking about Jesus and the New Testament Sabbath, and today we're going to be asking what Sabbath did Jesus keep? Now this is actually so essential. You know, I'm a Christian first and foremost, and so often people actually ask me, they say, hey, Pastor, why do you bother keeping the Sabbath? My response to them is actually quite simple. Well, that's what Jesus did. So to me, it's not a real complex a question, that one, and it's fairly easy to actually respond to. But today, of course, my co-host is Pastor Marty Thompson, and Marty is currently ministering to the Grace Adventist Church and the Sterling Adventist Churches right here in beautiful Adelaide in South Aussie. Now, welcome to you, Marty.
Good to be here, Pastor Gary.
It's good to have you back in the studio again. It's you are a real live wire every Tuesday afternoon. Really appreciate the input that you do actually give.
This is a great topic. I'm super excited about it. And I think this is a, like you said, there's a lot of agitation. There's a lot of questions about this topic of the Sabbath at the moment. Look, what a great topic to discuss. What a relevant topic to discuss. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now, look, just one question before we do go. Daylight robbery has come in down here in South Australia. Now, of course, others know it as daylight saving. I call it as daylight robbery. Have you adjusted to daylight robbery?
No, not yet. It still feels very early in the morning when it's time to get up, but that's okay. It'll take a little while and we'll be back into routine. So that's fine.
Yes. I've got to admit, this time of the year, I actually envy my mates in Queensland and West Australia, where they haven't gone this particular direction. I'm one of those morning people who loves a bright, happy, open morning, and quite happy to go to bed early at night.
That's true. I agree. However, the thing that's good about it is that I think that in some ways it kind of tricks you into going to bed earlier and getting up earlier, which is a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Because we've lost an hour, now when we're going to bed at sort of 9 p.m., it's what use, or well, we're probably not going to bed that early, but hopefully we're getting to bed by, say, 10 p.m.
Yeah.
But that's really the old 9 p.m.
That's right.
Which is great, because that's like an early night. And then when you're getting up at maybe 6:30 a.m. Well, that's all. That's the equivalent of 5:30 a.m. That's impressive.
Well, that is certainly a positive spin on a challenging subject. But Marty, look, let's come to our religious world watch. This is such an important part of our entire program, where we dig into articles that are in the religious and the secular press, but subjects that are concerning the Christian church generally. Now, of course, this week, I'd just love to be able to share with you one today, Marty. This one comes from the New York Post, and they're picking up on this Charlie Kirk thing again, his assassination. But in particular, they're picking up, and this was published in the New York Post. So this isn't the religious press. This is the secular press. This is, of course, an opinion article in the New York Post, and it's talking about Charlie Kirk Kirk and the Sabbath. And of course, we're dealing with the Sabbath this week, and it is scattered right through the press generally. But let me share this particular article with you. This article's entitled "One Last Lesson from Charlie Kirk: We Can All Keep the Sabbath to Save Our Sanity." The murder of Charlie Kirk has left a gaping wound in the conservative movement and the hearts of millions of Americans who admired his courage and his conviction. It's also left behind Charlie's sixth and final book, set to be released this December, "Stop in the Name of God: Why Honoring the Sabbath Will Transform Your Life." That title now reads less like a prescription for individual renewal and more like a legacy, a call to carry forward one of the most essential lessons he wanted to impart, the need to stop, rest, and return to God's rhythm for life. Charlie was a Christian, but he was candid about how abiding by a traditionally Jewish Sabbath observance, namely, turning off his phone, detaching from the frantic pace of politics, and dedicating 24 hours each week to faith and family, transformed his life. At a recent Turning Point USA event, he and his wife, Erica, spoke about what this practice meant for their marriage, their sanity, and their faith. Turn your phone off for one day, Charlie urged. No contact, no social media, no work. Your mental health will improve dramatically. Every Friday night, I take a Jewish Sabbath, he continued. I turn off my phone Friday night to Saturday night. The world cannot reach me. I get nothing from the world. It will bless you infinitely. Erica explained what it looked like in practice. She said that he turns off his phone and goes, and it goes into the top drawer. Then he's all on for family. There are no distractions. He finally gets to reset his brain. He finally gets to breathe. As a wife, there's nothing more precious than my husband's sanity. I've seen it change him and impact our family in the most beautiful ways. Their testimony was profoundly countercultural. In a society that glorifies busyness, constant connectivity, and the illusion that we must always be available, Charlie and Erica preached rest, not laziness, but intentional rest. The circumstances of Charlie's murder give his message even more urgency. He was killed, allegedly, by a young man radicalized by the internet, someone terminally online, whose world had been distorted by algorithms and digital echo chambers until his mind turned violent. Tyler Robinson immersed himself in doing this very opposite of what Charlie modeled: logging off, spending time in prayer, going outside, talking face to face with family and friends might have saved the alleged family's sanity, his soul, and his future. It certainly preserved Charlie's. Now, a week after the horrifying murder, some of those lives who have been touched are following Charlie's example. In honor of Charlie, I will no longer be online from Friday sunset to Saturday sundown. Charlie's friend Dave Rubin declared last week in an amazing tweet. Rubin's shift is not just a tribute, it's a recognition that keeping the Sabbath is an antidote to the sickness of our age. In the Jewish tradition from which Charlie drew, the Sabbath is referred to as a taste of eternity. It is a weekly reminder that our worth is not found in our productivity or in our tweets, but by being the beloved children of God. It is a rebellion against tyranny, whether the tyranny of Pharaoh in ancient Egypt or the tyranny of the algorithm today. And make no mistake, Americans today are enslaved. Enslaved by their phones, by their notifications, by the endless outrage cycle that never stops churning. You know, Marty, as I read that particular article, it really bounced out at me, because this is just one of a plethora of articles that really I am noticing within the press that are talking about this Sabbath, this issue of the Sabbath. But Marty, look, do you sense that I suppose this article is saying something that our society really does need?
I see this all the time. I see that, you know, people, we're so busy, we're so bombarded by just this constant, you know, this constant bombardment of information and the need to connect, the need to respond. This is something that's very real, I think, in our society today. And I like the fact that, you know, he talks about the fact that this was something that was really good for his mental health. I mean, we see that mental health issues are on the rise, and, you know, the top selling medications all have to do with stress and anxiety. And, you know, this is just the reality of life in 2025.
Yeah.
People are stressed. They are overworked. They are underslept. And, the concept of actually taking a day off is very powerful. It's very powerful.
Okay.
I also think I really like and appreciate the fact that, you know, Charlie recognized that there was something out of balance in his own life. He actually recognized this, and he realized that his family was suffering. And, you know, I mean, I think we all know in our hearts when, hey, I'm working too much, I'm doing too much, but sometimes we don't really know what to do about it. It's like, okay, but these things still need to get done, or there's other deadlines and there's other things that are pressing. But I think Charlie sort of went to something that was transcendent above just, you know, business as usual. He based his conviction to keep the Sabbath off the Word of God, ultimately, the Bible. And so I think that that's what enabled him to actually make a significant behavior change and reap the benefits as a result in terms of, you know, he talks about the fact that it benefited his family, it benefited his mental health, and he was able to, you know, be even sharper in his profession as well. So I think that this is very powerful and very relevant.
Yeah, no, look, really appreciate what you're actually saying there, because I am conscious that there's certainly a transition has occurred, because certainly for many years, I'm just conscious of so many people did actually, I suppose, speak down, you know, the Sabbath is a works orientated thing if you happen to keep it. Whereas now, there's this in huge transition, and I've got book after book, certainly that's been published in recent times, where individuals are showing the need for a Sabbath. And I'm not talking here about a Seventh-day Adventist authors or anything like that. But Marty, look, just one thing. I just wonder, does this article miss anything significant? Because to me, as I was reading it, I was sort of saying, yes, 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 I love what you're actually saying. It's all so true. But to me, it just seemed to be missing something.
Yeah, and the thing that it doesn't really talk much about is that the main purpose actually for the Sabbath is, see, mental health improvement, yes.
Yes.
Family improvements, yes.
Yes.
You know, having a better work-life balance, absolutely. Good for your health, absolutely. I mean, it's known that Seventh-day Adventists who are Sabbath keepers live longer.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously also the vegetarian diet as well, but the Sabbath is a huge thing. So there's all of these benefits, but there is, there's one foundational element to the Sabbath that is that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
In other words, the Sabbath is about him.
The Sabbath is about Jesus.
The Sabbath is about Jesus, and it's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's from that relationship that everything else flows, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, etc. And so the fruit of a relationship with Christ is better mental health, is a better family, is a better family relationships is what I'm trying to say, is all of these blessings.
Yeah.
So we should, because we've got to be careful that we don't seek the blessings instead of the blessor, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, yes.
We shouldn't just, you know, I love what Charles Spurgeon once said. He said, "When I looked to Christ, the dove of peace flew into my heart. Mm. But when I looked at the dove, it flew away."
Yeah.
In other words, if we're wanting all the blessings, if we're wanting peace without Jesus, well, we won't have peace. Mm. And if you want all the benefits of the Sabbath without Jesus,
without the Lord of the Sabbath,
without the Lord of the Sabbath,
yeah.
Well, the reality is you're missing out on the main point of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not just to make our lives on this earth better. It does do that. That's true. But it's actually to prepare us for the life to come. It's to prepare us to go through a crisis even, but our faith will be strengthened because we've spent time with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, that's actually so true, because I'm just so conscious in many of the articles that I've actually been reading. What I'm hearing is that the Sabbath is so essential because of what it does for me. And yes, it does. It gives me clarity of thought. It clears my mind. It gives opportunity for all of those things. And yet, when someone says to me, "Hey, you know, Pastor, you know, why do you keep a Sabbath?" And I do keep a Sabbath. It's because, number one, I want to get to know Jesus Christ. I want to get to know him because, you know, it's as Jesus lives in my heart and being able to have a day of relationship vertically with the King of the universe and horizontally with my fellow believers and fellow and fellowship with friends in church and family. To me, that's when it all comes together. It doesn't come together outside of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's Jesus is at the center of Sabbath. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus created all things. You know, the Bible says that all things were created through him. And that means that when we read the book of Genesis and we read about the Sabbath being given to humanity from God, that means this is from Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And I fully agree, Pastor Gary, that, you know, there are many wonderful things, you know, that people, I mean, I've heard of people even looking at the principle of tithing from the Old Testament, you know, and thinking that, oh, you know, maybe if I can apply some of these principles, I can get rich, you know, and it can be similar that we can look at many of the principles.
It can become very me-centered.
It can be. And the Sabbath is really about our relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and that is the key that I think unlocks every other blessing.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we're going to come to this later in our program, but our time is already starting to get away from us. Let's come to some music. This is Emu Music, and this is this beautiful song, "Thine Be the Glory." Please enjoy this beautiful hymn of faith.
Glory, risen conquering Son, endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won. Thine
And that, of course, was Emu Music and singing Thine Be the Glory, and how true that is, Thine Be the Glory, risen, saving King by Emu Music. Now, look, guys, we do have a giveaway today, and this is a real beauty. This book is entitled just a little book. It's not a big book. This is just over 100 pages, A Bridge Across Time. And, of course, this is digging into this whole subject of the Sabbath. It starts, so you want every Saturday off? Alex couldn't believe his luck. Clark was just the kind of employee his business needed. Smart, driven, incredibly talented. He couldn't afford to refuse this request. But what interested him the most was Clark's explanation based on what he found in the Bible. Alex had to know more, and what he discovered changed his life forever. The book is entitled A Bridge Across Time. You will love this little book. This is one of those books, again, that you might like to read with your family for your worship time. Maybe just a short excerpt with a friend. Maybe you'd like to put a short excerpt online. Folks, look, this is done by Dan Appel, and you will really appreciate this particular book. Now, if you would like The Bridge Across Time, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 808 11, and all you need to put in the text is just 5 digits. Now, the code is SA344. SA for South Australia, no gap, and then 344. And that'll go through to our robot. And our robot will come back to you, ask you a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. A Bridge Across Time by Dan Appel. And that book is available by texting us at 0488 808 11, and the code in your text needs to be SA334, just 5 digits in a row. You will come to really love this little book. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary and also with Pastor Marty Thompson. And this week, we're looking at that relevant theme, Jesus and the New Testament Sabbath. And today, we're looking at that question about the Sabbath that Jesus kept. What day and how did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Now, you know, Marty, for many years, my church has been seen, I suppose, just a little bit irritating to many people in the Christian world, because, you know, we've certainly promoted this thing called the Sabbath. And for many years, the majority of the Christian world has certainly pushed this aside. But that's no longer the case. What we're finding is all this literature from all over the place written by non-Adventist people is currently being developed. Now, certainly in my ministry, you know, really good Christians that I've had conversations with have assured me that the Sabbath has been done away with. They've said things to me like, you know, that grace means that the Sabbath is no longer obligatory. You know, some have gone so far as to describe the Sabbath as a burdensome hangover of a previous generation. And yet now we have not just Charlie Kirk, but multitudes of others promoting the Sabbath. What is actually going on? And did Jesus keep the Sabbath, and does it matter today anyway?
This is a great question. Now, you know, it was funny. I was listening to a sermon the other day where the pastor was talking about how he was preaching on the Ten Commandments, and he was going through each of the Ten Commandments. And everybody was saying, yes, amen, and amen, and yes, we agree, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you know, you shall not, well, some were a little bit unsure about you shall not, you know, sort of worship idols, because there are some churches that actually do have idols and images. But for the most part, everyone was so happy with the Ten Commandments until he came to the fourth commandment. And he talked and he said, and the fourth commandment is about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as he was talking about it, a pastor of another faith, of another denomination, stood up and said, "Preacher, you're trying to put these people under bondage." And he said, "Excuse me? Don't you believe in keeping the Ten Commandments?" And he said, "No." And this other pastor in the audience said, "No." Well, the interesting thing was this pastor who was calling out, he actually had some of his own members in the congregation.
Mm.
And when he said that he didn't believe in the Ten Commandments, some of his members were like, "What? Really?" And he said, "Well, I do, but just not the Sabbath." And so the preacher up the front said, "So you're telling me that the one commandment that we're supposed to forget is the one that begins with the word remember?" So, you know, this is the irony of it. And, you know, when we come to Jesus, we see that Jesus, as he said, kept the Sabbath. Now, it was a few years ago, Pastor Gary, I was visiting Jerusalem with some friends, and we came to the pool of Bethesda, and we came to a couple of things throughout Jerusalem, but this one was fascinating because it connects with our subject today. And there's a little plaque at mm-hmm. the pool of Bethesda mm-hmm. today that says, "Jesus healed the sick man near these medicinal baths, John chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you come to John chapter 5, it tells you the story. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Then it says a certain man had been there who had had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And Jesus then later said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk."
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And the Bible says, and that day was the Sabbath.
And Jesus got into trouble.
Unbelievable. And it says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed."
Mm-hmm.
Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. The Bible says, for this reason, because Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath.
Mm.
Isn't this remarkable?
This is a truly remarkable is certainly the right word for this, because what we actually have here is Christ is challenging not the subject of keeping the Sabbath, but rather how the Sabbath was to be kept.
How to keep the Sabbath. There was never a question about whether the Sabbath should be kept in first century Judaism. There was never a question about that. And Jesus lived in that context.
Yeah.
But the question was, did Jesus really break the Sabbath? I mean, the Pharisees accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Now, I remember talking to a friend of mine, and she said to me, "We don't need to keep the Sabbath. Jesus broke the Sabbath." And the Bible says he broke the Sabbath. But did Jesus really break the Sabbath? Or did he break the man-made traditions of the Jews concerning the Sabbath?
That's going to be good.
That is the question. Did Jesus really break the Sabbath that was written on the Ten Commandments by God himself, that the Sabbath that God, Jesus himself had instituted in the Garden of Eden? Did Jesus break that Sabbath?
So Jesus is really reconfiguring what the Sabbath is actually all about.
Of course. Jesus didn't break the Sabbath. He rescued the Sabbath. Jesus actually rescued people from the false teaching of the Jews that had made the Sabbath an awful burden.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we see this repeatedly emphasized throughout the life of Christ. Christ claimed an authority higher than the tradition of the religious leaders in his interpretation of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Jesus, in fact, said in Matthew chapter 5, I love this verse, Matthew 5:17, "Do not think," Jesus says, "that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot," that's like the dotting of an I, "or one tittle," like the crossing of a T, "will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." So Jesus is saying, if the heaven is above you and the earth is beneath you, God's law has not changed.
Marty, on another occasion, Christ actually talked about the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day.
Correct. Now,
he claimed to be Lord of the Sabbath. What does that actually mean?
Well, the fact that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath means he is the one who has the authority to show how it's supposed to be kept. Mm. He's in charge of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about him. And the Sabbath is a gift from him as well, because in that same text in Mark chapter 2, Jesus says the Sabbath was made for mankind. Mm. It was made for mankind. In other words, it was a gift that was made for humanity to benefit us. But I think it's very important to recognize that Jesus on several occasions says that it's going to be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for just the smallest aspect of God's law to fail. Mm-hmm. It can't. Mm-hmm. It can't. God's law is permanent. That's why God wrote it on tables of stone.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me, Pastor Gary, that the only part of the Bible that God himself wrote is the part that some Christians want to change. Mm-hmm. And say that it's no longer important.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't come to do away with God's law, but to show us what it looks like to keep it.
Yeah.
That's what it means, that he fulfilled the law. He filled it to the full. He shows us the full meaning of what it looks like to keep
God's law. This is actually the very perfect gift that God gave to all humanity at the way back at the time of creation. You know, sometimes people have said to me, "But Pastor, this is a Jewish day," and I actually take them back to the creation story. When, of course, there has another Jews don't come on the earth, of course, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for another 3,000 years is when they appear on the earth. But way back at the time of creation, what you actually get is the original parents of humanity being given a beautiful gift. You know, can you imagine it? You know, their very first day, because this is the seventh day of creation, their very first day of their existence, what God says is, "Hey, I want you to come aside and I want you to rest." Why did they need to rest on the first day of their existence? You know,
it was putting their priorities straight, wasn't it? It was showing that your relationship with God comes before your work.
Yes.
And that's why I believe God created Adam and Eve on day six, and then the very next day was the Sabbath. And so, yes, you're right. The first full day was a Sabbath with God, where they communed with God. They had relationship with God. And this is God appealing to us in our busy lives, in our hectic routines. God saying, make sure you don't get too busy for me.
This is why this day is regarded more correctly as a day for humanity, not just a day for the Jewish nation.
Oh, of course.
And this is why Christ can say, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Why? Because he's the Lord of all mankind.
Absolutely. By the way, in Revelation, the Bible says that John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Some people think that you know, means Sunday. The Lord's Day being connected with Sunday didn't happen for hundreds of years later.
Yeah.
And the only day that is the Lord's Day in the Bible is the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
You have to go outside of the Bible and centuries later to find sources that talk about the Lord's Day as referring to Sunday.
Yeah.
That's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's very important. Just coming back to another healing miracle of Jesus on the Sabbath, if we can. It says in Luke chapter 13, verse 10, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. By the way, the Bible makes it very clear in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus' custom was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That means, you know, you wouldn't find Jesus in his carpenter's shop on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
When he was growing up, No, is custom meant this was something that he did from childhood.
Yeah.
This was something that was habitual. He grew up with it. It was his custom. And Jesus always went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. The synagogue's like church. It's a place of meeting for worship. Now, on this particular Sabbath in Luke 13, it says, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day.' Then the Lord answered him and said, 'Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?' And when he had said these things, the Bible says, all his adversaries were put to shame because they knew that what he was saying was irrefutable.
So true.
You couldn't deny the logic of what Jesus was saying.
Yes.
He's saying, you take care of your animals on the Sabbath. If your sheep falls into a ditch, you're going to rescue it out.
Yeah.
If your donkey needs to be watered, you're going to water, you know, you're going to let it have a drink.
Yeah.
But you're not even, and Jesus is saying, but you think it's breaking the Sabbath to heal? Where'd you get that idea from?
This is a beautiful picture, because what Jesus is doing is redefining what the Sabbath is actually all about. Because, of course, the Sabbath in the times of Christ had been surrounded by a multitude, a plethora of rules and regulations, of things you could do, couldn't do, shall do, must do, have to do. But what Christ does, Christ comes along and he totally redefines the Sabbath day.
Yeah, he rescues it from this Pharisaical legalism that has been placed upon it. And this is a major thing that is often misunderstood. When the Bible says that Jesus, when the religious leaders accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath, he wasn't breaking the Sabbath of the Lord, but he was breaking the version, the legalistic version that the Pharisees had put on it. You know, Let me just come to something that I find quite interesting. It's actually fascinating that actually the Jews had 1,521 oral rules for keeping the Sabbath. 1,521. Wow. Yeah, you can still get resources that go through these rules. You know, Orthodox Jewish books will talk about all the different rules about Sabbath keeping. In fact, there were 39 categories of what was not permitted on the Sabbath. Some of the examples were, you were not allowed to spit on the ground on the Sabbath because that would be classed as irrigation. You couldn't walk through a grain field, you know, that had, you know, ripe grain. You couldn't walk through that field and pluck one off and rub it together in your hands because that would be considered harvesting.
And of course, the disciples on one occasion did exactly that. They were walking through a grain field and they actually plucked. And of course, this was allowed within the economy. You could walk through and certainly pluck and have something to eat. You
couldn't
take it with you, but you were able to do that. And of course, the disciples were criticized not for actually plucking or taking it. This wasn't theft, but rather for doing it on the Sabbath day.
Yeah. And like you said, this was totally legitimate. You know, Leviticus 23 talks about the fact that they were able to glean. You know, this is not harvesting.
Yeah.
This is gleaning. This is just, hey, I'm walking past a fruit tree and the fruit tree has its branches hanging over the fence onto the public footpath. You know, if anyone accused you of harvesting by just taking that, you know, one apple or something like that, that's way over the top. That's just not even, that just doesn't even make sense.
And yeah, that's what the disciples were accused of.
That's what the Pharisees were saying. Your disciples are harvesting on the Sabbath. And another one was that you were not allowed This is in Orthodox Judaism. And these rules were relevant and current at the time of Christ. You were not allowed to carry a handkerchief on the Sabbath unless one end of it was sewed to your clothes. Then it was considered to be part of your garment. Mm-hmm. See, in other words, over 1,500 rules about how to keep the Sabbath, the Jews had absolutely, totally lost sight.
It needed to be redefined totally.
It did. Jesus needed to rescue it from the bondage which the Jews had put on it. So I guess the question once again is, this is the key question. Was the issue, should we keep the Sabbath? Was the issue with this tension between Jesus and the Pharisees over the Sabbath, was the issue, should we keep the Sabbath? No. That was clear. Nobody had an argument over whether they should keep the Sabbath or not. Was the question, how should we keep the Sabbath? Yes, it was. And Jesus showed how to keep the Sabbath. He healed. Mm-hmm. He blessed others. And Jesus talked on one occasion of how he worshiped God. And he talked about on one occasion, I think it's Matthew 12, how he talks about the Old Testament example of the priests working on the Sabbath, but they don't profane the Sabbath.
Yes.
Because even in, you know, Jesus draws from this principle from the Old Testament of saying, look, even those who were doing God's work, they still have to do work on the Sabbath. Mm. They still had to, you know, there was sacrifices that were offered. There was water in the laver that needed to be filled. There was wood that needed to be collected or brought to the altar. You know, there was different work that still needed to take place in the Old Testament sanctuary on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
But it wasn't breaking the Sabbath because it was an act of worship. You know, when we go to church, the deacons might still have to set up the chairs and the tables and there might need still to be some things that are done. We try and do everything that you can do, you do before the Sabbath.
Try to prepare beforehand.
You prepare for the Sabbath, but there's inevitably going to be some things that need to be done. And hey, if someone is unwell and they fall sick and it happens to be the Sabbath day, you know, Jesus shows us the example of how we should actually offer a hand of help and healing to someone. We shouldn't say to the doctors, hey, it's Sabbath, don't work.
In other words, Jesus here is redefining the Sabbath. He's not redefining the day that worship occurs. And what he's doing is redefining this plethora of rules and regulations that had come to surround the Sabbath day. And Jesus puts it into a context where he is indeed Lord of the Sabbath day. And to me, I really like this. You know, Marty, we do have to come to some music, but I'm just so conscious. Myself, I've always loved the Sabbath because it's a day that I'm able to worship. I'm able to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father, but I'm also able to have a horizontal relationship with my family and my church. A relationship is the key to the Sabbath. And you know, if a person wants to fall into love with Jesus Christ, to be able to put a whole day into saying, hey, look, I'm going to spend time with Jesus today, then the Sabbath is no better way to do that. And I've encouraged person after person to please come to know Jesus, but come to rest in Jesus, because that's what we've been called to do. But look, let's come to some music. This is Jeff Bullock, and he's singing, O Lord, Your Tenderness, and also such Love. Please enjoy.
Oh,
course, is Jeff Bullock and singing, "O Lord, Your Tenderness with such love." One of the most beautiful contemporary renditions of Christian praise that certainly has been developed in recent years. Now, folks, look, we do have that giveaway book. The giveaway book is entitled A Bridge Across Time, and this really digs into just very briefly, about 100 pages, talks about A Bridge Across Time. It talks about the Sabbath. Where did it actually come from? What are the foundations of it? And what does it mean in a practical way in my life today? Now, folks, look, if you would like your own copy of A Bridge Across Time, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 04-888-80811, 04-888-80811, and in there, all you need to do is to put the code SA for South Australia, and then no gap, SA 344. So those five digits in a row, SA 344. That'll come through to our robot. Our robot will come back to you, ask you just a few questions, so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. You will love this little book, A Bridge Across a Time. You will love it. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary and also with Pastor Marty Thompson. And this week we're looking at that really ripper of a subject, Jesus and the New Testament Sabbath. And today we're asking, what was the Sabbath that Jesus kept? Now, Marty, really appreciate what it is you've actually been sharing with us. It just becomes such a wonderful opportunity to be able to connect with our friend Jesus. Marty, look, we've got about 5 minutes. Can you just bring it all together for us?
I want to just emphasize this point that Jesus kept the Sabbath of the Bible, but he didn't follow the human traditions of his day regarding how the Sabbath was to be kept. Yeah. Now, this has been observed by ministers for a long period of time. I'm referring to an article or a book called The Christian Sunday, and it was actually talking about the Sabbath, but it was written by Presbyterian ministers, and even though they get the day wrong in particular, they actually get something very correct in this article. They say that, but though the Pharisaic Sabbath was gloomy, the Sabbath of the Mosaic law was joyous. In its sabbatical system, the joyousness of the religion of Israel was especially prominent. Christ rescued the Sabbath from its Pharisaic perversion and brought out more fully the true meaning and the true secret of its joyousness. In the living Christ, we can see the love that gave the Sabbath and the glory it is bringing to us, and our keeping of it is transfigured from duty to delight.
Wow.
And so the Sabbath, Jesus paid no attention to the man-made traditions of the Sabbath that made the Sabbath a burden. He wanted to restore it to its true joy and blessing. And I just want to say, if the Sabbath was so important to Jesus, then how important should the Sabbath be to his followers today?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus was willing to heal on the Sabbath, even though he knew that that would actually bring him into issue with the religious leaders of his day.
It would cause controversy.
It would cause controversy, and they even sought to kill him as a result.
Yeah.
Now, we do need to just touch on very briefly this quick question about, well, what day is the Sabbath? And we see this most clearly from the ministry of Jesus himself. Mm. We know at the end of Luke chapter 23 that Jesus died on what the Bible calls the preparation day. Now, I encourage you, if you're learning about the Sabbath, if you're seeking for the Sabbath truth in the Bible, go to Luke chapter 23, read the end of Luke chapter 23, the beginning of Luke chapter 24. You'll see that Jesus died on the preparation day, and then he rose on the first day of the week.
Mm.
Now, today, the day that Jesus died, we call it Good Friday.
Yeah.
And the day that Jesus rose, we call it Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So very clearly, the preparation day was the day before the Sabbath.
Mm.
And the first day of the week, the Bible says, was the day after the Sabbath.
Jesus rested on the Sabbath day.
So, Jesus rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day, which is powerful. But I think that this is abundantly clear. Mm. So, Jesus died on Good Friday and he rose on Easter Sunday. And the Bible calls the day between those days, the Sabbath. Mm. So that's Saturday. In fact, I was sharing this at Adelaide University just recently, and a lady said to me, well, hold on. I thought Sunday was the seventh day of the week. And I just simply said to her, what is your, and I knew that she was from sort of a Spanish speaking background. And I said, what's the word for Saturday in your language? You know what she said? Sábado. Sábado. I said, do you know what Sabado means? It means Sabbath. Because over in 100 different languages, the word for Saturday means Sabbath.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're many of the African languages, same thing, Italian, Greek, you know, many languages actually have the word for Saturday is Sabbath. You know, some people say, well, how do we know that the days of the week haven't changed in their order? There has been no change to the order of the week. The Royal Greenwich Observatory makes that very clear, that there has been no historical record of a change of the week. And we know that from the time of Christ, when he knew which day was the seventh day of the week, the day that God blessed, the day of the Sabbath. And ever since that time, the Sabbath has been kept and the weekly cycle has not changed. Mm-hmm. And so, my friends, I believe that this is the evidence is there, and I think if we're willing to take an unbiased look at it, it's overwhelming, and it's a joy and it's a blessing to follow Christ and his example of keeping the Sabbath.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you right now. I want to say thank you for giving us exceedingly great and precious promises. Thank you, O God, for giving us rest. Thank you for providing a day when we can relate to you and just spend time in relating to our fellow humans. Lord, I pray that you might be with anyone who's listening to this program right now who might have questions in their mind. Lord, I just pray that you might touch them by your Holy Spirit, that you might give them peace. But Lord, most of all, that as Lord of the Sabbath, you might reveal yourself to them. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor Marty on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when I'm going to be meeting with Pastor David Butcher, and we're going to be asking, did the apostles keep the Sabbath? Now, this is years after the death of Jesus Christ. What was the practice of the apostles? That's the question we're going to be asking. Really look forward to you being with us. But until then, please remember, Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.